go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Welcome to Car Stuff. You know me.
Yeah. Hey, aren't you Scott Benjamin?
I'm Scott Benjamin, and you're Ben Bolin.
By process of elimination.
That's exactly right. So now we got that out of the way.
Yeah.
Quick. What?
I'm sorry. I don't want to ruin your view.
You look excited, but what?
I am excited.
Why is that?
By the time this airs, I will have left and returned from, hopefully, a little road trip. I'm gonna. Yeah, you know, I never
take a
vacation. Yeah, so when Friday morning, I'm gonna head out and go down to Tybee Island.
Very nice.
Look around a little, catch the sights, make the scene.
Not a not a long distance trip, but still a good road trip.
Yeah, just a weekender.
That's
just
good.
A weekender.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, and that's part of why I'm all about today's topic, which you turned me on to, and I have to say is a heck of a story.
Yeah, this is a this is an article that we have on our site, and wow, you know, as it turns out, kind of a bit of a legend in Germany, really.
Yeah.
I think our German listeners probably already know this, but we're going to be talking about the first road trip that was ever taken. And you'd think this would be difficult to nail. Now, we're talking about an automobile road trip.
Right. No horse-drawn carts.
No, exactly. No, we're not talking about that. Or, we're not talking about that. Or, you know, somebody jumping on a tractor and taking a trip or something like that. But this is an automobile. And it may surprise you who took this first road trip.
Yes, it is a very surprising thing. The time is probably surprising to a lot of people as well.
Yeah. You wouldn't think that I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, maybe I guess people would guess that it would be later by about 20 years.
Right.
I would think.
Right. I think – because that's where I was thinking. Now, cast your memory back, if you will, listeners, to the grand old days of 1888.
Mm-hmm. That's a long time ago.
That is a heck of a long time ago.
Long time. I haven't done the math yet. How long ago was that?
It's far before our time, and you and I are both old guys.
123 years.
Roundabout.
Yeah, that's about 123 years, something like that. Okay.
And so we've got let's go ahead and start with Carl Benz. Can we start with Carl?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so Carl Benz is often credited as being the inventor of the automobile along with Gottlieb Daimler.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, because they work simultaneously.
Right, which happens very frequently with inventions. And so around 1878, Carl builds a gasoline engine and he tests it. He refines his invention. He's working on what eventually becomes a three-wheeled engine-powered carriage.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And that's actually what they accredit to being the first gasoline-powered automobile is this what do they call it? The Benz?
Patent motor wagon.
Patent motor wagon.
Or
that's
patent
right.
motor wagon, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Patent motor wagon. Yeah. That's right. And now that's officially the first car. It's easy enough to go online, do a Google search, find a photo of this thing, and take a look at what it looks like. It looks like, it's looking like a carriage almost, a real delicate looking thing, really.
Yes, sir.
Very, very thin, tall wheels. You know, of course, it had an area for seating.
Mm-hmm.
Motor was kind of behind and below the driver, and just an unusual looking vehicle, but officially the first automobile
with almost one horsepower.
Almost, yeah. It had what, three quarters of a horsepower.
Yeah,
or something
exactly.
Like that.
0.75.
One cylinder engine. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And of course, it was a manual. You had to use a manual gear shift in order to get the thing moving. Mm-hmm. Of course, it was a four-stroke engine.
Mm-hmm.
And the top speed, Ben, do you know what the top speed was? Yeah, I bet you do.
The top speed was 10 miles per hour.
Breakneck speed, right?
Which, you know, honestly is pretty fast.
That's pretty good for three quarters of a horsepower.
Yeah.
Considering you got this big vehicle that you're powering with that small engine,
mm-hmm.
plus obviously a person, at least one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other thing. This thing had seating for three people, sort of. It had seats for the driver, a passenger on the passenger seat, but then it had this small seat in the front that faced rearward. You almost have to look twice to even spot that seat, but it's there.
And that's a very strange place to put a seat.
It
actually.
Is, yeah, it is, it is.
So this thing was the very first widely considered the very first automobile, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't perfect. It had some control issues, some maneuverability imperfections.
Right. Yeah, because there were some accidents with Carl himself at the wheel, right?
Yes, sir. And you know, Carl, of course, is no milquetoast. He's not afraid of a couple scrapes and bruises.
No.
He keeps trying it out, but he only gets it to work for a short time.
Yeah, that's right. And here's the thing is that, you know, after a while of messing around with this thing, and, you know, it's a great invention.
Yeah.
It really is. But he just didn't have much confidence in the thing. He didn't think that it was going to go anywhere. He was kind of running into some roadblocks along the way, and he was thinking like, well, you know, what's the marketability of this thing? Does anybody really want this? It's not very practical,
and right.
Especially you can't go anywhere really. I mean, it's a short distance thing, and it's more of a toy.
And keep in mind, because there was no economy of scale at work, it would also be very expensive to create one to sell to someone.
Sure, because you're creating it from nothing.
Right. Yeah, it's bespoke pretty much.
Yeah. Yep. So this sets us up.
This is a great setup.
Because, you know, here's this guy. He's got this invention that, you know, he doesn't necessarily believe in it all that much, but someone else does.
Yes. Someone who, you know, this is one of those things where the truth is stranger than fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Because this sounds like a film plot, doesn't it?
It does.
Especially when we tell you it's the honest to gosh truth. Berta Benz, the wife of Carl Benz, is the first road tripper.
Yes. Yep. I pronounce it Bertha.
Ah, yes. Yeah.
That's all right. You could say Berta if you want. I've heard it pronounced that way too, but I'm going to say Bertha. You'll say Berta, whatever. It's tomato, tomato.
I'll go with you on Bertha.
So, on what?
I'll go with you on the pronunciation.
Oh, why not? All right. Whatever. Or I could say Berta. Either way.
Bertha. There she is, the wife of Carl Benz, and has much more belief in the potential of this invention than Carl himself does.
Yeah, exactly. Now, she's the one saying that, you know, what you need to do is you need to get it out there and you need to show people that, yeah, it can do it. Although right now there's just no infrastructure in place to be able to do the things that you want it to be able to do.
Right.
Because, you know, up until this point, it's horse-drawn carriages, you know, foot travel. That's about it. You got wagons that are being pulled behind horses. You don't have something that's self-propelled, that runs on gasoline, that has this kind of configuration, this three-wheel configuration. It's got great potential, but it's just not being put out there the way that she thought it should be in order to make it really gain any kind of popularity.
So she harries and badgers her husband for a little while, saying, come on, Carl, you've got to get this thing out there. People literally don't know what they're missing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to have a little faith. And he's probably doing that thing. You know how it is when you're in a relationship. He's going, all right. But he's not really doing anything
about it. He's busy with other things.
Right. He's busy with other things. And so in a stroke of what would later become automotive history, Bertha says, you know what? If you want something done right, you do it yourself.
That's right. And here's where the story gets really interesting, if it hasn't already, because she snuck the car out, Ben. She snuck the car out for the day, or actually for 3 days, without him knowing, supposedly, right?
Right.
Now, I'll discuss the validity of that later, I think. But
yes.
She early one morning, she and the two kids, they get up early, they sneak out of the house, they push the car away from the house, they fire it up, and they take off to go to her mother's house, which is, what, 60 miles away, something like that?
Yeah.
I've heard anywhere between 60 and 65 miles.
Right. It's around 60, 65, or 96 or so kilometers.
Yeah, so this is kind of nuts. This is because now, remember, this is a difficult vehicle to maintain control of. It has, it doesn't have a steering wheel. It has kind of the rudder control, the lever control.
Right.
There's levers for the brakes, there's levers for the gear shift. I would assume the accelerator is the same way, or maybe even a dial, I'm not sure. Three seats, you know, the unusual configuration, open top, there's no weather coverage at all.
This is before the days of roll bars.
Now remember, the roads are made for horse-drawn carriages.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so the roads are rough.
The roads are very rough, that's right. And you would think that, you know, the back two wheels could ride in the ruts, that's fine, but the center wheel in the front would ride where the horses walk, and I guess that's a rough trail, that's going to make for a bumpy ride.
And we all know about horses' hygiene. I'm just pointing it out.
You know what, that's good. Good point, because it wouldn't be such a pleasant ride, I don't think.
I'm just saying. But the okay, so there she is with her sons who are teenagers at this time, I believe.
Yep, and, 15 and 14. The names were Eugen, who was 15, and Richard, who was 14.
Yes, and so she's got her kids in on it. From what we've got in the article, she says that her husband would never have allowed her to drive to her mother's in this vehicle because of his doubts about its reliability.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But
yeah. Now she lived in, yeah. they lived in Mannheim and she was driving to visit her mother in Forsheim. Is that
Forsheim?
Right? Forsheim.
Yeah.
I'll go with that. So how long, I mean, this is like a full day journey for her in order to get there, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, it's in August. You got to imagine that, you know, I would assume the weather is pretty hot at that time. It's got to be a difficult trip to begin with.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're forging out into these regions where there's no gas stations, there's no spare parts, there's no anything like that. You know, in fact, you know, that's one thing that we need to mention here is that, you know, you leave on this road trip and you know where they had to stop for fuel, Ben?
Where?
Pharmacy. They had to stop at a pharmacy to get fuel. So they're counting on fuel stops where, you know, there just may not be any fuel. They purchased something that was a detergent that was that served as a fuel. It was called Legroin, is that right?
Yeah,
petroleum ether, which is really a detergent, like I said, but it would burn, and that's what they used for fuel on this trip.
And they also had to refill the water tanks in the vehicle.
Yeah.
Like every 12 miles because the water in the cooling system would boil off as the engine ran. This was by no means a smooth road trip.
Oh no.
Trying to say, because there's more stuff that went wrong, right? Mm-hmm. For instance, the leather brake shoe linings.
Ah, yes.
Right?
Now, well, they came up with that idea on the road trip. Because they were originally wooden blocks that were used to stop this thing. They had a wood block brake pads, or really brake shoes, I should say. And they wore out on the trip because, you know, wood doesn't last too long. It's like sandpaper, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they made the decision to stop off at a shoemaker and have him affix some leather straps to it, or just pieces of leather to it, which essentially became the first brake shoe.
Yeah.
Brake pad, I guess.
Bertha Benz gets my vote for MacGyver of the Week.
Yeah, no kidding. Because a lot of the stuff, this ingenuity that she showed on the way. Now they did, of course, they had to push the car uphill because it had very low horsepower, no torque probably.
Yeah.
You know, no spare parts along the way. So if they broke a chain, which I guess happened a couple of times,
yes.
They had to find a blacksmith in order to fix the chain. Now, that's a difficult task, I would think. I mean, ooh. I'm sure they're blacksmiths. In the day, of course, shoeing horses and stuff. But imagine trying to find a blacksmith in order to fix a chain on your vehicle if you're the only vehicle. One other thing. She had to use two other things, really.
Yeah.
She had to use a hairpin to unclog a fuel line along the way.
Yes, yes. And that wasn't the first time her wardrobe came in. That wasn't the only time, rather, that her wardrobe came in handy, because there was also a leaky valve that – They only made the trip with this leaky valve because luckily, Bertha used one of her garters to plug the valve.
Mm, okay. Now, you know what? That garter also came in use later to insulate an ignition cable too.
So she was just out of garters.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. She's really making the best with what she's got there, because, the 60-mile trip, as it turns out, was extremely, extremely difficult. Now, they did make it safe.
Yes.
And they, you know, I guess they wired once they arrived and let, you know, Carl know that they had made it safely. And cause he's probably worried, like you wouldn't believe at that point.
Mm-hmm.
His invention's gone. His family's gone.
Yeah.
And now, okay. So they wired that, and then they made the trip back, which also went well. And, you know, I'm sure about the same way.
I've got some of the sources I was looking at say that they went with a different route on the way back, return trip.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a bit more level.
Mm-hmm.
So there was at the very least less pushing uphill.
Got it.
And, so what better way to persuade your husband to believe in his invention?
Yeah.
But man, can you imagine? I cannot imagine the conversation they had.
Well,
when they got back.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, later it said that he said that, and this is a quote from him, I guess. He said, she was much more courageous than me and went on a decisive trip to, for the future development of the motor carriage. So in other words, he probably wouldn't have done really much of anything with this thing. Yeah. Now, who's to say that, you know, Daimler wouldn't have done something with their, you know, other people were in development of this at the same time.
Absolutely.
But this really got it out there that, you know, this is a potential. You could possibly use this for something beyond just a trip around the neighborhood. It's mm-hmm. more than just a utility car to be used on the farm.
Yeah, it's not just a rich man's toy.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I mean, now here's a question. Now, so that's the first ever road trip, okay? Yep. 1888, it was Bertha Benz, 60 miles roughly. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, until today, now you can go on this memorial, memorial route mm-hmm. in Germany that kind of retraces the track that she made from Mannheim to Forzheim. And if you want, I'm sure there's probably a day when they do a kind of a ceremonial ride or something like that, yeah, I would guess. Yeah. Okay. Now here's the question, Ben. Do you think this was all planned out? Do you think that Carl knew that she was going to take this and this was kind of like an early what they call a media stunt now?
Yeah. That is an excellent question, my friend. And I was initially hook, line, and sinker on this story. Mm-hmm. You know, I still do think that Bertha Benz is a very impressive, resourceful
yeah.
person.
Oh yeah.
But I also had the same, just a tinge, mm-hmm. just a tingle of skepticism.
I have a little bit, but then you got to remember, now think about this. Think about the day that this happened in 1888, right?
Yeah.
Think about the way society was and the protection, you know, the protective nature of, mm-hmm. of men with their women and, you know, just that.
Very
that,
paternal society.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And for him to allow his wife to head out on a 60-mile journey in an untested vehicle, really, beyond, you know, his own grounds there, his own proving
right.
grounds, I don't know. I mean, it seems like he almost would have a mechanic ride along with her if it was some type of stunt like this or if
yeah.
it was or some planned stops along the way to make sure that they were okay and things like that. And maybe there was some of that that we didn't know about. I don't know. But I don't doubt any of the ingenuity that had to happen in order to keep this car running, and I don't know. I just get that little bit of feeling that maybe it was kind of a stunt, and you know what? Maybe it was. Maybe it was unintended. Maybe it was unintended on her part. She really believed in it and said, you know, I'm going to prove it to him. But maybe she ended up proving it to far more people than she thought she would because this really hit the news.
See, I feel you on that. I think it was definitely a publicity stunt. To me, the question is whether or not Carl knew about the stunt.
Yeah. Okay.
And I see what you're saying, especially about society of the day. I'm going to go ahead and side with the people who believe that Carl Benz did not know. And the reason I'm going to go with that is, again, the points that we've talked about with the culture of the day, mm-hmm. the society of the day, and also the difficulty of communication. It's difficult for, I don't know. I'm still undecided. I'm still on the fence because it's difficult to think that he would have sat around for several days. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm not going to discount it either. I'm going to give it full credit that she did this on her own and that, you know, mm-hmm. I really do think that. I truly do. I think that it was a stunt on her part, maybe.
Yeah.
Saying, I'm going to go out and do this, whether he likes it or not. And I don't know. It's a bold move, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm going to go ahead and give her – I give her full credit and say, yeah, she's definitely the one that did this on her own.
You know, that's more and more where I lean. And goodness gracious, thank goodness she did, man.
You know what,
because
that's true. Yeah, I mean that's true because I think it really – it kind of propelled us into the motoring age. And I think that, you know, a lot of people stood up and took notice at that point and said, you know, like I think – Like we mentioned before, I think that this thing may have some legs.
And just 1 month later, after her return, Carl Benz brought a revised prototype of this vehicle to Munich, where he won a gold medal for the exhibition.
Good for him.
And the rest, as they say, I'm kidding. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. So, okay. So whoever would have thought when you're talking about the first road trip, this is generally, and I don't want to get metal.
Listener mail?
Yeah. I say mail and letters at the same time, but we'll get listener mail about this. But generally, I think of this as a masculine thing. I don't know why. Maybe just because it's the first automobiles and the machinery and, you know, long distance road travel. It's kind of, I would think that it would be a man that would forge out on his own to make this first trip, but it wasn't. It was a woman, and that was kind of surprising to me. Mm-hmm. And kind of made me think a little bit about my favorite road trip movie, too.
What is your favorite road trip movie?
I would say the original National Lampoon's Vacation. That's my favorite road trip movie. Okay. What about, do you have a favorite road trip movie? Have you been thinking about this?
Oh, man. I'm probably going to get some people who disagree with me, but Easy Rider.
Oh, okay.
It's so classic to me, you know. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, I really wanted to be Easy. You know, when I first saw this film, yeah. I did not get most of what is going on, mm-hmm. to be completely honest
well,
with
sure.
you. I just thought it would be – I was like, it would be so cool for me to be living off a motorcycle and – I actually got in a little bit of trouble with my mom watching Easy Rider as a kid.
Yeah.
Because I did, you know, she knew what goes on in that
yeah,
film.
Yeah, the adult subject matter.
Right.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I know. It just went over your head, right?
Yeah, it did. It did. Yeah.
That's probably good.
It probably is.
Probably.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was a cool chopper in that movie, too.
Wasn't it a classic?
Yeah, it is.
You know, I don't own a motorcycle, but if I were to buy one, mm-hmm. it would probably be modeled after that.
You have to make a replica.
But we digress. What is your favorite road trip movie? How's that, Scott?
That's good, yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah, because we want to know, and we're suckers for road trip movies. We hope you've enjoyed the story, and we hope that we've given you some good cocktail trivia or some good garage conversation.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it probably just opened some people's eyes because I didn't really know about this story until I read it in our own article on our site. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. It was a surprise.
Yeah, I didn't know either. And so let us know if you surprise your friends with the story. Hit us up on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. Scott and I, of course, work for a handy website with everything you would want to know about autos on it. And if for some reason there's something that we haven't addressed or that you'd like to hear in an upcoming episode, please send us an email at
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.